For the past few weeks, we've been inviting our friends, family and neighbors to attend this special event. We wish to extend a warm welcome to all who accepted this invitation. How do you picture Jesus? Does your picture of Jesus correspond with what the Bible reveals about him, both in the past and present? How does Jesus' current activity affect you personally? We are sure you're going to enjoy the answers presented in the following Bible discourse. Please give your attention to Brother Gregory Nickel, a traveling overseer in the Edmonton area, as he speaks on the theme, Jesus Christ, World Conqueror, How and When. Brother Nickel, we are eager to listen.
Do not disturb. I'm busy conquering the world. The other day in the mall, I saw that on a t-shirt. Perhaps you have that t-shirt. Just got me curious, got me to think about how, as humans, we are interested in the thought of conquering. Now, I guess we're not interested in world conquest, but maybe conquering our day. Apparently, I hear a little bit of fiber helps you to do that first thing in the morning. But now, let me ask you this. Is that how you view Jesus? Have you ever viewed him as a world conqueror? Well, you might be a little bit curious. The title of this discourse, you might be thinking, well, shouldn't it be Jesus Christ, World Savior? Isn't that why Jesus came to earth? Didn't he come to save the world? Well, and that might be how you picture Jesus in your mind. I mean, when you've seen Jesus in works of art, you've seen him perhaps in other books, pieces of literature. Jesus is often pictured that way, isn't he? As a savior, as a man who's being executed, someone who looks weak, someone who looks very frail, being put to death. Hardly does he look like a world conqueror. But now, is that how Jesus would have looked? Well, we can't really say for sure. The scriptures do not tell us how Jesus looked, but he was a perfect man. We do know that. Now, have you ever seen a perfect man? Maybe you're thinking about your husband right now. Well, I guess not. Well, we get the point, right? Jesus, he was a perfect man, so he would have been very strong, very handsome. There would have been no defect in Jesus anywhere. Now, that sounds like a world conqueror. But it's true. The Bible does say that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and we believe that. We believe in Jesus as our Savior. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 tells us that. But the Bible also portrays Jesus as a conqueror. Please, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to John chapter 16, and we'll read together verse 33. And note here how the Bible portrays Jesus. So John chapter 16 and verse 33. So that's John 16, verse 33. It says, I have said these things to you, so that by means of me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have conquered the world. So there we have it. John 16, verse 33. So perhaps you might want to keep your Bible marked there, or if you're using your tablet, to just touch on that verse and then use the bookmark feature. But first of all, what does it mean to conquer? Well, it means to overcome or to take control of. Now, what do you think? Do you think that's exactly what our world needs? Do you feel like the world is out of control? There are so many problems. We need someone that can overcome them and take control of the earth. Well, friends, that's what Jesus can do, and that's what he is going to do. But now, it mentions here the world. We need to understand. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said, "I have conquered the world"? Well, if you look at this verse here, we want to take note of there's two different groups mentioned here. Now, group number one would be his disciples. So that's who Jesus was talking to. Now, notice his disciples would experience tribulation from group number two, the world. So Jesus, it doesn't make sense that he was talking about the earth. But in the Bible, when it talks about world, it often refers to the world of mankind. So here's the world of mankind causing tribulation to Jesus' disciples or true Christians. So it's that world of other humans that were causing problems, that they were not for Jesus. It's this world that Jesus said that he conquered. And this world, the Bible says, also has a ruler, Satan. He is the ruler of this world. So now that we understand that, how did Jesus conquer this world that is ruled by Satan? Well, put quite simply, here's a very simple way that we could put it, is he never gave in or yielded to its temptations or its influence. So what does it mean to yield? Well, it means that we would slow down, maybe take a good look before we go ahead. We might have to give way to somebody else, to a driver. Well, Jesus, he never slowed down in his service to God. He didn't yield. He didn't stop and take a good look at what the world had to offer. He wasn't interested. He never lowered his standards for true worship or proper conduct, despite how others felt or how he was viewed by the world. So let's discuss some ways. Turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. So Luke 4. And let's just see here Jesus acting as a powerful conqueror. Luke 4 there in verse 5. So here is Satan, the ruler of the world. It says, he showed him all the kingdoms of the inhabited earth in an instant of time. And notice the devil said to him that, "I will give you all this authority and their glory, because it has been handed over to me and to whomever, or I give it to whomever I wish." Notice he just wanted one act of worship, and it will all be yours. You think Jesus probably could have thought at this point, you know, I could be the ruler of the world. Think of all the good that I could do. But notice he wasn't interested. He didn't yield. He didn't take a good look. In verse 8 he said, "It is written." So he gave an immediate response. What courage. This is a world conqueror. He wasn't interested. He did not want to be the kind of person that Satan wanted him to be. He conquered this test. Let's take a look at another way that Jesus did this. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. So Jesus, he never took on the attitudes that were common in the world back then. Here's one example. It says, 1 Peter 2, 23, when he was being insulted, he did not insult in return. Now that can be very challenging, can't it? Attitudes are contagious. aren't they? Jesus wasn't interested in catching the attitudes of his day. Now let's read, how did he conquer them? In Luke chapter 23, so let's turn back there to the book of Luke. And here Jesus, you know, no greater insult than being executed shamefully. He was being nailed to a stake. Nails were piercing his hands and his feet. And you think about what he could have called out. He could have called out to his God Jehovah to punish these ones. Could have taken vengeance. But notice in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, this was what some of Jesus' very last words were. Luke 23 and verse 34. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Can you imagine that? Isn't that incredible? What Jesus did here, he conquered the attitudes of the world. So how do we feel when somebody cuts us off in traffic and they speed right by us, and then the next thing we know they're getting pulled over, getting a ticket? Are we tempted to smile at them and wave? Are we thinking about Jesus? See, Jesus showed us that it's possible. What's our attitude? We want ours to be one that's worth catching. Let's look at a third example. Again, it's in the book of Luke. Let's go to chapter 4. Sorry, John. We've already been to Luke chapter 4. There's so many. Let's go to John. Chapter 2. And here we see how Jesus, he did not lower his standards for true worship or proper conduct, and he didn't care if that made him unpopular. Now here's a group of ones that he was very unpopular with. In John chapter 2, verse 13. Actually, we'll start in verse 14. So Jesus is at the temple. And he finds in the temple those selling cattle and sheep and doves and money brokers. So notice, after making a whip of ropes, he drove out all those with the sheep and the cattle out of the temple. Verse 16, he says, to take these things away from here. Stop making the house of my Father a house of commerce. Now, when we read that account, and we can picture that, we picture a very courageous man, not a man who is in a rage. You notice verse 15 says he had to make a whip of ropes. So Jesus was controlled. You know, that wouldn't have been very easy back then. There was no Canadian Tire that he could have gone to and got this whip of ropes. And you can just imagine people looking at Jesus, he's making this whip, and they're asking him, Jesus, what do you plan to do with that whip? And, oh, just you wait, and you will see. Courageous. He conquered. And these ones were Pharisees, scribes. They were the temple leaders. So he was pitting himself against some very powerful people of Jesus' day. And guess what happened? A few years later, they all came back. Maybe they thought, okay, let's try to get this business done before Jesus comes. And Jesus, when he saw them there again, he didn't give up. He wasn't frustrated, didn't compromise. He threw them out again. What a courageous conqueror. Something else that Jesus did is he upheld God's high standard for marriage. One man, one woman. It wasn't very popular back then. Apparently some wanted to have more than one wife. One is a blessing. More would be... Apparently that's what was popular back then. Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, he said to stick to your wife and the two would become one flesh. So he conquered the popular view of his day, because that was Jehovah's standards. He loved God's standards, and he didn't care what other people thought of them. He was going to uphold them. So what we've just talked about so far is that Jesus, he didn't yield, did he? He didn't give in. He wasn't influenced. Now, what do you think? Do you think if Jesus were here on earth today, do you think some would say that he is his judgmental, perhaps, or he is narrow-minded? Perhaps. You may have heard similar accusations made against us, but we are just striving to imitate Jesus. We are striving to follow his model. We love people, but we love Jehovah's standards too. Now, what do you think? What can Jesus' conquest mean for us? Is it possible for us to conquer the world? Well, let's go back to John chapter 16 and verse 33. So if you put your bookmark there, there's something else that we want to take note of here in John chapter 16, verse 33. What we can gain from Jesus' conquest. Towards the end of that verse, it says, but take courage. But isn't that what we need? You see, we can likewise be like Jesus. We can be world conquerors. We can overcome temptations. We don't have to yield to this world because Jesus never yielded. He showed us that it's possible to conquer this world's attitudes. We could uphold God's standards with this quality of courage. So if we're faced with a test, well, Jesus relied on God's word, not on his own wisdom. Jesus said, it is written. So you see, we can get courage from God's word when it comes to standing up to tests. When we're insulted, when we're being persecuted, when that person cuts us off in traffic, you know, we can think about Jesus. And in Romans 12 and verse 21, it says we can keep conquering evil with good. Very powerful. We can trust in Jehovah, in our God, to rectify matters. So we gain courage. We can be just like Jesus Christ. But now, you might be wondering, how is Jesus conquering the world right now? What is Jesus doing now? Well, let's read. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 6, we'll read a description of what Jesus is doing now. Revelation chapter 6, and verse 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. It says, and I saw, and look, a white horse. And the one seated on it had a bow, and a crown was given him. And he went out conquering and to complete his conquest. You know what's interesting is in the world they give a lot of glory to the horse. The one who just won the triple crown. They never talk about the rider. But in the Bible, it gives all the glory to the rider. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And he is described here as a powerful warrior king. And notice here, it says he went out conquering. So that means that right now, Jesus is in the ongoing process. That means it's still going on. Now, if he's going to be conquering, if he's a ruling warrior king and he's conquering, he must have enemies to conquer. Well, let's tie this in with Psalm 110. Who is Jesus conquering? Psalm 110, verse 1 and 2. Let's have a look at that. Psalm 110, in verse 1, This is God speaking to Jesus. It says, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies as a stool for your feet. Jehovah will extend the scepter out of your power, out of Zion, saying, go subduing in the midst of your enemies. What do we learn here? Well, in the verse that we just read, it talked about Jesus would be conquering, ongoing. Now we find out that he would be subduing, which is also ongoing, in the midst of enemies. So Jesus would be this ruling warrior king in heaven, and he would be subduing or conquering enemies. They would still be in power here on earth. Now notice that verse that says to sit at my right hand. So Jesus, well, when you think about sitting, that's what you're all doing right now, but when you go to a doctor's office, you sit, and that means that you wait. So Jesus had a period of waiting. And that period of waiting ended in 1914. That's when he began riding as a powerful world conqueror in the midst of his enemies. Now, what can that conquest mean for us? The fact that Jesus is conquering his enemies? Well, let's find out. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Please turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. So in our mind, we have this picture of this powerful king riding this white horse, conquering. And notice here, chapter 4, verse 17, it says, but the Lord stood near me and infused power into me. Notice it says, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Now, isn't it nice when we're going through a hard time? I'm sure we've all gone through a challenging time. Isn't it nice to have a friend that stands by us? I'm sure you have a friend just like that. He stands near you, and that makes you feel good. Now, if you've been that friend to someone else, have you ever felt a bit frustrated? You know, I just wish I could take his problems away. I wish I could conquer his or her problems, but I just don't have the power. You see what this is saying here? We have, in our mind now, we have this powerful warrior, not a weak, frail, thin man, but a strong, mighty, conquering king standing by our side. And Jesus does not lack the power. There is no do not disturb on Jesus. You know, he is busy conquering this world, but he is never too busy to help us. If we stay on Jesus' side, we receive his help in overcoming tests from this world. How grateful we are for that. So now, Jesus, he conquered when he was on earth. He's conquering right now. How is he going to complete his conquest in the near future? Well, let's read another prophecy. Revelation chapter 17. Let's take a look at verses 12 to 14. Revelation chapter 17. And this prophecy shows Jesus conquering all human governments. And let's read about it here, starting in verse 12. It says, the 10 horns that you saw mean 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they do receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the wild beast. These have one thought. So they give their power to the wild beast. These will battle with the Lamb. But because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, the Lamb will conquer them. So the 10 horns, in the Bible, that pictures all human government. So here we have all human government. Those are the enemies that we read about in Psalm 110. And notice at some point in the future at the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus, it says, will conquer them. How is he going to conquer human governments? Well, again, let's turn to Psalm 2 and find out how Jesus is going to do that. Psalm 2. And we'll look at verse 8 and verse 9. Now, is it going to be a difficult task for Jesus? Well, verse 8 says that he would be given nations. So this is talking about human governments. And then what will Jesus do with them? Verse 9, it says, you will break them with an iron scepter, and you will smash them like a piece of pottery. So do you have a hideous piece of pottery? And, you know, you wish sometimes that you were Greek so that you could take care of that pottery the way that the Greeks do. Well, if you have a piece of metal, you could take that hideous piece of pottery and you could smash it beyond recovery. And that's what Jesus is going to do to all human governments. He can smash them beyond recovery so easily at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, what can that mean for us? Well, for some Christians, they will be raised to life in heaven. They will have that privilege of joining Jesus on this conquest. They will get to share, too, in crushing Satan. The Bible also says that Jesus will take and seize Satan. He will bind him, throw him into this pit of inactivity for 1,000 years. Jesus is powerful. But for most of us, most Christians, we will be here on earth. We will not take part in this battle of Armageddon, but we will stand still. We will get to see the salvation from our God, Jehovah. But we will benefit. Psalm 37, let's go there. Verse 34. How will we ultimately benefit from Jesus' conquest? Psalm 37, verse 34. It says, hope in Jehovah, follow his way, and he will exalt you to take possession of the earth. When the wicked are done away with, you will see it. Now just imagine that. We will get to live in a world that is free from the influence of its ruler and free from all wickedness. Does that sound good to you? To live in a world like that? Well, what have we learned? Well, we've learned that Jesus is a conqueror. He did so when he was on earth. He conquered its influence. He didn't yield. He didn't give in. We've learned that Jesus is a powerful warrior king right now. He's on that white horse. He is riding. We can picture him conquering right now his enemies. And then we've just talked about how Jesus is going to completely conquer this world as easily as smashing a piece of hideous pottery. He is going to do that in the near future. So it's true. The scriptures portray Jesus as a savior. And we believe that with all our hearts, that Jesus is our Savior. But it also portrays Jesus as a world conqueror. And do you not agree that this world is out of control? We need someone who can overcome these problems. And Jesus is not too busy. He will overcome and take control of this world's problems. So if this talk in any way has expanded your view of Jesus Christ, you might be wondering, is there anything in the Bible that I haven't been taught about Jesus? What does the Bible really teach? Well, we would be happy to study the Bible with you and help you to learn how to be on Jesus' side so that when he, not only now, but how we can be on Jesus' side when he will completely conquer this world in the near future.
How exhilarating it is to know that Jesus' conquest of the world can mean blessings for us. Thank you, Brother Nickel, for presenting that clear discourse. If you would like to have Bible discussions free of charge at a time and place convenient for you, you're invited to give your name and contact information to one of the attendants. Or you may simply visit jw.org and fill out an online request for a Bible study. Thereupon, we'd be happy to arrange for one of Jehovah's Witnesses to supply you with more details about the Bible's sure promises.